Luke chapter 4. I'll read a little, but I have four words that I hope will be an encouragement to somebody tonight. Amen. Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, where he was baptized by John the Baptist, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The devil lost round one. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written. Devil's getting wise now. He's quoting scripture to Jesus. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is written, it is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their churches, in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. He just loved to find where it is written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I see the battle here between me and me, I and I, hallelujah. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This day is this scripture. It was a specific day, and it was a specific scripture. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I want to take four words out of verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah, or Esaias, the prophet. And when he had opened the book, first we have to open the book if we're going to read the book.
Yes.
And when he had opened the book, I want to talk for a few moments on the next four words. He found the place. He found the place. He found the place. He didn't find a place. He didn't just open the Bible at random like I've seen some people do. And they're so busy they don't have time to read the Bible. And they open the book and they go like this. They shut their eyes tightly and they take the index finger, sometimes a little shaky and trembling because they're hoping for a supernatural word from God, not realizing that all the scripture is supernatural. Amen. And so they take their finger and they go like this. And they don't get what they want. They'll turn the book somewhere else and close their eyes and put their fingers down and they'll come up with some strange things. And I don't mean to be funny, but I heard a story about somebody that did that one time. And he opened the Bible and it happened to open
to John 13:27. He had his eyes closed. He wanted to know what God wanted him to do. And that scripture says, that thou doest, do quickly. This story will tell us how you can get in trouble when you can't find the place, when you can only find a place. That thou doest, do quickly. And the man said, that doesn't help me. And he said, Lord, I want to know what to do. What should I do? And then he opened another page and he closed his eyes and he put the finger down. And he opened to Matthew 27:5. And it says, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. He said, surely this can't be for me. So he opened the Bible, closed the Bible, opened it again, closed his eyes, put his index finger down on another spot. And Jesus said in Luke 10:37, go and do thou likewise. That's how you can get in trouble if you just open your Bible at random. I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to learn to find the place. That specific place that refers to us for that specific trial or that specific occasion or that specific problem, and know what God's got to say about it. And if we're going to be able to find the place, we're going to have to obey 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Praise the Lord. Jesus didn't find a place. He found the place. All through his life, he wasn't looking for a place in the scripture. He was looking for the place. And he found the place because he knew the place. He studied and he knew the places in the scripture where he could find the answers to his needs. Now, objection somebody gave me. They said he was God. He knew all things. He was omniscient. He already knew the places. We have to work so hard to find the place. You have to remember that Jesus was not only God, Jesus was man. And as a man, the Bible tells us in the book of Luke that he studied and that he learned. And the Old Testament prophecies tell us that he studied and that he learned. He learned all these things. He pored over the scriptures. He spent time reading his holy scriptures and he found the place. Praise the Lord. He didn't just stand up and quote the scripture there in the synagogue. He wanted them to know that they had to open their Bibles and that he could find the place that referred to him. Hallelujah. And I love Psalm 119, verses 97, 98, and 99, where David said, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And he talked about the law, the scriptures, the precepts of God, the judgments of God, making him wiser than his enemies. And then he said, for they are ever with me. Whether he meant the laws of God were ever with him or the enemies of God were ever with him, both are true. He had them both with him and he had the answer from the law of God for the enemies that were ever with him. And then he went on and he said, I have more understanding than my teachers. And I just thought about that as I was sitting here tonight. David said, I have more understanding than my teachers because thy law is my meditation. I'll tell you something, folks. If you know the Bible, if you know the Word of God, you'll find all kinds of mistakes out there in the world. Look at how the world is trying to solve problems today. They're trying to solve the education problem by throwing more money at it. They're trying to solve the abortion problem and the dope problem, the drug problem, all these social problems that we have today by throwing more money at it. They're trying to solve the S&L money problem by throwing more money at it. David knew more than all of his teachers. And all you need to know is know this book. And you'll know more than all your teachers. No matter where you go to school. No matter how many degrees your professor has behind his name. If you know the Word of God, you'll know more than any of them and all of them put together. Praise the Lord. Just open the book and find the place. Find the place where God said it is written. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've read the papers, and some of you may not believe that I read this, but I have. I've read predictions by the experts that predicted famine, worldwide famine, caused by overpopulation, population explosion, and so we have to kill all the babies we can. That's good for to keep that population explosion down. And now somebody already said it tonight, next, euthanasia. Then they're going to kill the old folks, and we got to keep the population down. We have to have birth control. We got to keep the population down. I didn't bring it with me tonight, but I've got some things that have never been contested successfully yet that say that there's no such thing as a population explosion or the earth is overpopulated. Well, anyway, the predictions by the experts said that there's going to be a worldwide famine and because of an overpopulated earth. But if you can open your Bible and find the place, you find it in the book of Matthew and you find it in the book of Luke. Open the Bible, find the place where Jesus said, when I come again, they're going to be eating. That doesn't sound like famine that's going to wipe out the face of the earth. Amen. Wipe out the population. No. When Jesus comes, they're going to be eating and drinking. Well,
maybe their prophecies would have been true, or their predictions would have been true if Jesus hadn't come. But they don't believe he's coming, but he is coming. Amen. Then I've even read about the global warming effect causing a universal flood again.
But if you can open your Bible in the book of Genesis and find the place where God said, I'll set my rainbow in the cloud. And every time I look at that rainbow, God said, he's looking from the other side. Every time I see that rainbow, I'll remember my mercy. I'll never do it again. All you need to do is find the place in the Bible. Praise the Lord. He found the place. Praise God. You're reading about nuclear holocaust? You're reading where man is going to annihilate man? I don't believe it. I don't believe that they've got the ability to do it when God says, off. Yes, I'll tell you why. That's reserved unto God. God said the flood was according to his word, and he said the fire will be according to his word, not the world. I'm not one bit worried about the world blowing itself up, because I can open my Bible and find the place where God said he's going to unleash his fury. He's going to strike the match. He's going to set the fire. It won't only burn the earth, it's going to burn the universe. Every star in the sky is going to melt. All the elements will melt with fervent heat. Just open the Bible and find the place. Hallelujah. I've read where God has it in for Russia. God hates the big black bear coming down from the north. And that bear is going to attack Israel, and God's going to protect Israel. And so we turn to Ezekiel chapters 37 and 38 and we start studying. We can't make heads or tails out of their doctrine. So from the Bible, so we go buy a book and try to figure out what they're saying. We compare the book with the Bible, we still can't figure it out. Well, why not go to the New Testament and find out what God says about Russia? Russia is in the New Testament. You can't find it so easy in the Old Testament as you can in the New. I found the place. I found the place. Russia is prophesied in the New Testament. Russia is spoken of in the New Testament. Praise the Lord. In Matthew 28:19, all we can get out of there is a formula for baptism. Oh, no, no, there's more in there. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every nation. Every nation. There's Russia right there. He doesn't hate Russia. He doesn't hate Russia. I wonder how the heart of God feels when he hears preachers say that God hates Russia. When he said, I don't hate Russia. I gave my only begotten son that every Russian that would believe could be saved. I found the place. John 3:16. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God doesn't have it in for Russia. Mark 16:15. He said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. That means every Russian. And look what's happened over to Russia. I'm glad that God's having the last say in this business. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. As you read your Bible and as you have questions and as you live your life in this insane world that's going insane, at least, if it hasn't already arrived, and you come up with questions, I want to tell you what to do. Write your hard, difficult, impossible questions down, because just because I don't know the answer, I've told myself a long time ago, doesn't mean that there is no answer. Just because I don't know the answer doesn't mean that God doesn't have an answer. He's got an answer for every question that I can ask him. Praise the Lord. And when his time is right, he'll tell us the answers. But when you have a question, write it down and then go to work and find the place. Go to work and find the place. You may spend a month looking for the place and never find it. You may spend a decade of your life looking for the place, looking for the answer. Keep looking. Find the place. Keep studying to show yourself approved unto God until you find the place where you can say, devil, you're a rotten liar. It is written. It is written. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Write your questions down, then find the place. My good old friend, O-L-E, my good old friend, Brian Robert Wiseman. I'll tell you, I love that man. We could always have spiritual fellowship together. We had very little natural fellowship together. We always had spiritual fellowship. Every time we get together, we were either talking in tongues, crying, reading the Bible, praying, studying together, walking and talking about Jesus. But he came up with a real good cutie. Better than a cutie. It was really a good statement, I thought. He just said this, Brother Tamrick, I've come to the conclusion that Jesus is the answer. Now, what's the question?
Amen.
We've already got the answer. Bring your questions. We've already got the answer. Jesus is the answer. Now, what's your question?
Praise the Lord.
And in the story we read tonight, we read about Jesus' temptations. When the devil came to him and said, if thou art the Son of God. You know, when he said if, he was trying to cast doubt on Jesus being the Son of God, believing that he was the Son of God. And it always seems to happen right after you're baptized, doesn't it? Right after you're full of the Holy Ghost. Sure, the Holy Ghost fell on Jesus there and it remained on him. He was just baptized right after his baptism. Fresh out of the water, he goes out into the wilderness, he's tempted to the devil, and the devil says, if you're the Son of God. Isn't that just what the devil does to you and me? Right after you get baptized, he begins tempting you and testing you and trying you. And he says, yeah, you're a Son of God? Huh? Huh? If you're a Son of God, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And so the devil said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones that they be made bread. Remember, Jesus was very hungry. He had just come off of a 40-day fast. He had absolutely nothing to eat all that time. And the Bible says, and after the fast, he was anhungered. He was very hungry. And the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, command these stones that they be made bread. You can have a good meal right here. No, and Jesus answered him. He found the place. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And then remember, Jesus took him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said, if you fall down and worship me, I'll give you all this. And Jesus answered him from Deuteronomy 10:20. He found the place. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then the devil took him to Jerusalem, took him up to a pinnacle of the temple, and told him to jump. Now that would be real impressive, wouldn't it, if Jesus jumped from the temple, landed on the stones below, and he said, ta-da, here I am. Now you're going to believe on me as the Son of God. No, Jesus didn't bite. Jesus didn't fall for that temptation. You know, if I can't find the place, I just might do some stupid thing like that and jump off the pinnacle of the temple, and you'll shovel me up. Amen. But Jesus didn't do that. And the devil quoted scripture to him from Psalm 91, and it sounded real good, 11 and 12. And that Psalm 91, 11 and 12 is in the Bible. He says God will give his angels charge over you, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. So go ahead and jump, Jesus. If you're the Son of God, do it. That scripture is referring to you. Go ahead and jump. But Jesus had another scripture for him the devil hadn't thought about. He just turned and he found the place. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So if some voice tells you to drive uphill on the wrong side of the highway on a two-lane road, don't you do it. That's tempting the Lord your God. Or somebody tells you to jump off a building and prove that you're a supernatural Son of God, don't you do it. You'd be tempting the Lord your God. Jesus had a specific scripture for every specific trial or every specific situation in his life. Amen. Then the Bible tells us in our text passage tonight that Satan, after the temptation, left him for a season. That means that he'll be back, folks. He'll leave you for a season sometimes, and you'll have the glory of the Lord. You'll be dancing all over the church, and you get up Monday morning, go to church, go to work, and you'll meet somebody head on, and you'll have a confrontation that'll just almost destroy you. And the devil just left you for a season. And so what you have to do is build up a checklist. A list of scriptures, so when the devil comes to you, you're ready for him. I have spent, I would say, almost all of my life, ever since I've been saved, I have been building up places in the scripture where I can defeat the devil when he comes to me and tempts me. Amen. Jesus had a scripture checklist. Jesus knew who he was. He knew what would happen to him in his life. He knew where he was in history. He knew the future. He knew. And he had this checklist. He knew, according to Psalm 40, I wrote some down here, Psalm 41:9, that he would be betrayed by a friend, not an enemy. It's bad enough when your enemies hurt you, but when your friends hurt you. Jesus knew that he would be betrayed by a friend. Jesus knew, according to Zechariah 13:7, that he would be forsaken by all his disciples and left to suffer alone. Jesus knew, according to Isaiah 50, verse 6, that he would be scourged. In Psalm 22, 7 and 8, that he would be mocked. In Psalm 22, 1, that he would feel forsaken and cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He wasn't forsaken by God, and he knew he wasn't because he cried, my God. But he was feeling forsaken. He was all alone, hanging on that cross, suspended between earth and heaven, proving that he loved Russians, and he loved Germans, and he loved Norwegians, and he loved all humanity. Praise the Lord. He knew, according to Psalm 22:18, that his garments would be parted. So when they were shaking dice, casting lots for his garments when he was hanging on the cross, and he would look down upon them, he knew that that was in Psalm 22:18. He could find the place for everything that happened to him in his life. And I'd like to propose to you and me tonight that you and I can find the place for everything that will happen to us in this life. We'll get into that a little more, I hope, before I finish. He knew, according to Psalm 69:21, that he would be given gall and vinegar to drink. He knew that he would die between malefactors, according to Isaiah 53:12. He could find the place. And the Bible says when he was hanging on the cross, he looked around and he studied, he remembered, he thought, the scriptures poured through his mind. Can you imagine a human being, a man that has feelings just like you and I have, hanging on a cross, suffering, excruciating pain, maybe passing in and out of unconsciousness? I don't know, but I know it was a horrible, horrible death. And yet he was there in the scriptures. The scriptures were paramount in his mind. He was thinking, yes, they're fulfilling scripture right now. Aha, thou that trustest in God, save yourself. You saved others. Come down from the cross. He knew they would do that because he could find the place in the Holy Scriptures. He knew Isaiah chapter 53 well, and he knew Psalm 22 well. He knew the other scriptures that referred to him so well. He could find the place. But that's not all he knew. He knew more than that. And if I could just turn there so I can read it perfectly tonight. He knew that he was going to die. He knew something more than that. And it says of Jesus the Messiah, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Yes, devil, you'll succeed in getting your motley crowd gang to kill me. You'll succeed in that, but that's not all there is to it. I know more scriptures than that, and I'm going to rise from the dead one day, triumphant over death, hell, and the devil. Praise the Lord. I'm coming back. I'm coming back.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, and you and I need to know that. You and I need to know that tonight. That we need to know where we are in our lives. We need to know where we are in history. We need to know, as somebody said tonight, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. We need to know that perilous times shall come. We need to know that there'll be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and all of these signs. We need to know where we are in history. And if we can open our Bibles, we can find the place. And we can know that Jesus Christ is about ready to come.
Yeah.
If we can find the place, praise the Lord. I know Satan wants to destroy me also, not just Jesus. I know that he doesn't want to destroy me also. Besides Jesus, he wants to destroy you also. That's why I'm continually building up a checklist of scriptures. So I have answers for that old devil when he comes. Amen. Has Satan ever come to you and said, you're not really saved? You're not really saved. How do you know you're saved?
Well, the preacher told me. Well, the church told me. They told me if I talk in tongues, I'd be saved. They told me if I get baptized, I'd be saved. They told me if I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I'd be saved. What makes you think you're saved?
You just got to turn nose to nose to the devil and tell him how you know. Just tell him Jesus said, it's recorded in, or the Bible says, it's recorded in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I received him, he gave me power to become a son of God. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believeth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so I can tell the devil I'm saved. And then beside that, devil, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I believe in him. And I can say with Paul tonight in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. They went to the blind man in John chapter 9, verse 25, trying to get some proof from him that he was the man that was healed and who Jesus was. And that man said in John 9, 25, I don't know if he was a sinner. I don't know that much about him. But one thing I do know, once I was blind, but now I see. And I can tell the devil when he tells me, how do I know I'm saved? I can say, devil, once I was blind, but now I see. Once I loved the things of the world, but now I love the things of God. Once I never read the Bible, and now I'm devouring the Bible. Once I hated church, but now I love church. I know I'm saved. Praise the Lord.
I wouldn't let the devil... let the devil fool me. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Has the devil ever come to you and said, yeah, well, you won round one. You won. You were a Christian. But since you, quote unquote, got saved, you little hypocrite, you've sinned.
Has the devil ever said that to you? Why don't you just quit? Why don't you just give up? Nobody loves you. God doesn't love you. The church doesn't love you. Why don't you just throw in the towel? You're a basket case. You're no good. You're worth nothing.
You got to find the place. Jesus found the place, and he wants us to learn to find the place. Did you ever find the place on that? Jeremiah chapter 3, 12. Hallelujah.
God said, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. That's all that God asks of a backslider, is that he'll repent again. He doesn't have to get baptized again. He doesn't have to get the Holy Ghost again. He doesn't have to do this and that again. No, what he's got to do is repent again. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. God says, I'm not mad at you. I want you to come back to me. I don't like your sin, but I love you. Come on back. Come on back. Return, thou backsliding Israel, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. So if you're here tonight and you're thinking that you've backslidden, you've sinned against God, some people think they've committed the unpardonable sin, there's no hope for them. You haven't committed the unpardonable sin. I'll guarantee it. You wouldn't be here tonight if you had committed the unpardonable sin. You'd have no use for the church. The only way you'd come here is with a bomb or some lethal gas or something to destroy the church. You would not be here sitting and hearing the word of God and in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Return, thou backsliding Israel. I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. And I found another one.
1 John 1:9. I found the place. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins,
see, only acknowledge thine iniquity. Only confess your sin. There's not a soul here tonight that has been saved and sinned against God that God is not anxiously waiting to forgive. He loves you. He wants you in his kingdom. He wants you in his church. He wants you on fire for him. He wants you in church worshiping him. He doesn't want you in church worrying over going to hell. He wants you to be happy about going to heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I remember a story I read about Martin Luther, that man who got the revelation of justification by faith and how we respect him for all that he went through to bring back to life that lost doctrine, justification by faith. Went to bed one night and the devil appeared unto him. Not Jesus, but the devil appeared unto him. And on a big screen like this before his, at the end of his bed, he had Martin Luther looking at that screen and he started writing down all of Martin Luther's sins. 1, 2, 3, 4, 500, 600, I don't know how many. He listed Martin Luther's sins. Martin, do you recognize that? Who that is? Yes, that's me, he said. He said, you have sinned. Look at all your sins. And Martin said, right across it. 1 John 1:7b. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Praise the Lord. I'm not justified by works. I'm justified by faith. He found the place. 1 John 1:7. He found the place. Jesus found the place. Martin Luther found the place. You have found the place. We just need to find more places, don't we? Amen. Amen, brother. You're coming through that trial victoriously. Yes. Praise the Lord. I talk about trials every once in a while. And I've said this to the church before. Let me say it again for his benefit. But when we're in a trial, it's like a hunter lost in the woods in the middle of the night when there's no stars showing and no moon. It's cloudy. It's dark. It's black. It's pitch black. And he's lost out there. He can't find his way. But and he doesn't know how close he is to the edge of the woods. He's just lost in the woods. And all he can see is the trees. He can't see the woods. He can't see the forest. That's the way it is when we're in a trial. But there's an all-seeing eye up above that's going to and fro throughout the face of the earth, keeping his eyes on his children. He knows where they are in the trial. He's looking down and he sees the woods. He sees the forest. He says there's victory ahead. Come on, brother. Keep going. You're only a half mile. You're only a half mile to daylight. Keep walking. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
I'm ashamed to tell you this, but I'll confess and tell you a trial I had. It might just help somebody else. Just a teenage boy, left high school and went right down to Bible college. So excited about God, loved God, and didn't do anything wrong, but something happened, and some things came into my mind, and I began to doubt. I had been baptized in Jesus' name. I had repented of my sins. I had received the Holy Ghost. I had decided to go to Bible college. I went. I was there at Bible college in San Antonio, Texas. Like I say, I'm ashamed to tell it, but I doubted the very existence of God. I began to question it. And I was miserable in myself. And I remember the night that I went out under the Texas stars and moon, and I just got all alone in somebody's backyard. I sat there, I stood, I paced back and forth outside of the little servant quarters where I lived behind this mansion in San Antonio, Texas, Mistletoe Ave. And I was struggling. I was reasoning. I was using this and reasoning this thing out. And I'll never forget it. I just said, oh God, help me. And then I thought to myself, well, you don't know if there is a God or not. And it just hit me. Acts 2:38 hit me. It just hit me like a hammer. Hit me. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I had lost my mind. I had lost my memory. The devil cast doubt on my experience and on my faith in God. And I'll never forget it. I said, when Acts 2:38 came to me, I said, ha! That's right! I got the Holy Ghost! I jumped up. Devil, you're a liar! You're a liar! You're a liar! I talked in tongues. I received the Holy Ghost. I'll never forget it. Devil, I can take you to the place in the scripture. Devil, I can do one better than that. I can take you to the place in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, where it happened. I can take you to 430 Water Street. I can tell you the time of the day. I can tell you the time of the night. I can tell you where I knelt. I can tell you what happened. Praise the Lord. My doubts were over. I have never once existed or doubted the existence of God since that day. That might sound strange. That might sound
funny, but
no, that's what happened to me. Has anybody ever here ever anybody here ever entertained any doubts since they've been saved? God bless you. Amen. Aren't you glad that the doubts are settled?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Because you found the place. You found the place. I got the Holy Ghost right there. I got it over here. I got it in that chair. I got it over here. You can find the place in the scripture. You can find the place, the geographical location. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
You got to find the place, folks. We've got to learn to find the place. He found the place. Satan comes to you and says, you're sick in your body. How come you're not healed? If Jesus loves you, how come you're not healed? I've gone through this.
Didn't he say, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee?
Maybe there is no God. Maybe you're just reading some fable.
Well, why aren't you healed then?
What do you tell the devil? I said a long time ago, devil, God said he'd heal me, he just didn't say when, so get out of here.
Amen.
That's one answer. That's one answer. Comes again. Then I said, it's not over yet, devil. Get out of here. Then Satan says, but you're going to die from your sickness. And I found the place. Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
That's a good place to find.
Hallelujah.
And then the other place where he said, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet. Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. Listen, God's alive and well. Praise the Lord. And he's got the power to raise anybody that's sick unto death from the grave. Hallelujah. Never to die again. We believe in divine healing. But we're not going to believe anything the devil says about it. We're going to believe what God says about it. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You ever go to a funeral? Well, I've been to lots of them, and I've buried a lot of people. And I've talked to a lot of funeral directors, and you know what they tell me? I've had several funeral directors tell me, I broached the subject, of course, they have told me that the atheist can't handle death. He can't handle death. You know why? He can't find the place. If he reads the scripture, all he can find is, I'm a fool. That's all he can find. And so atheists have trouble with loved ones dying. He has no place. He has no God. He has no Bible. What an art it is to be able to find the place.
Amen.
Folks, dedicate yourself tonight to spend the rest of your life finding the place.
Amen.
Get answers for the devil. Amen, amen.
Somebody says, I'm out of money. I found the place. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Yeah.
The problem is not with God. The problem is with us. Can we stand?
Oh,
hallelujah. Oh.